toward the sanctuary when I heard the phone in the office ring. Because remember, in 1995, if you had any kind of cell phone at all, you had the kind I had. You had that big bag that you stuck in your car. And I just happened to hear the phone ringing, and I went over and picked it up to see what was going on. And it was one of our deacons, and he called to tell me that he and his wife had been walking out the door heading to church when they saw a bulletin on television, and it said a tornado is headed directly for Aliceville, Alabama. It will be there any moment now. I grabbed two or three of the other men, and we walked outside and just stood on the front porch of the church. And the honest truth is, it was hot and it was really cloudy, but it really didn't look all that dangerous. So we walked back inside, and I said to the folks who had gathered there, "Listen, I know that everything seems to be okay, but Dean just called a minute ago. He said that there's a tornado headed toward town. And so just to be safe, let's go out and let's get in the center of the church in the hallways, and we'll just wait a few minutes and make sure everything's okay." By the time we got everybody out and into the hallway, everything had changed. The power was gone. You could hear the wind howling outside. When I looked out the windows, you could see the rain just going sideways. And we began to hear that racket. You know, you've always heard that story about a tornado sounds like a train passing by. And that's what we were hearing. And I remember being in the hall at that church and thinking, I'm about to see what a tornado can do to the downtown of a town. And just hoping that we were going to be okay where we were. That tornado passed over town about 200 feet in the air, went all the way across downtown, went outside through the subdivisions on the outside of town, and sat down in the middle of our golf course at the country club and took about 40 trees out. But nobody was hurt. Imagine what it would have been like if I had said when that telephone call came, "I'm sorry, I've got a sermon planned, we've got worship on the way, I don't have time for your foolishness, we're going to stay right where we are." I can tell you what it's like. It happened on another August in 1969. Those of you who are around at that time will remember when I say Hurricane Camille. Those of you who don't remember Camille, remember Katrina. They were very much the same. Camille was headed for the Mississippi Gulf Coast, and it looked like it was going to be a horrible, horrible storm. Jerry Peralta was the police chief of Pas Christian in those days, and he was on his way out of town. But before he left, he made a loop through town to make sure that everybody had gotten the word and everybody had evacuated, because this was a killer storm that was on the way. And everything went fine until he came to the Richelieu Luxury Apartments, which were right across the highway from the beach. And it looked like everybody was gone except in this one apartment up on the third floor. And there were lights on. And he thought, surely to goodness, nobody's there. And he went up and he heard music in the halls, and he knocked on the door and they opened it, and there were 23 people in that apartment. They had decided to have a hurricane party and ride this thing out. He said, "Have you not heard what's coming? Do you not understand what kind of storm this is going to be?" And they said, "We're just not that concerned. Whatever may come, whatever nature throws at us, we're going to be able to handle it. We'll be right here having a party through the middle of the storm." He was so concerned that he made each one of them give him the name of their next of kin. And even that didn't frighten them. And as they shut the door behind him, he heard the music turned up and he heard the shouting begin, and the party went on. About 10:15 that night, Hurricane Camille came ashore. 205-mile-an-hour winds. When the hurricane had come and gone, he made his way back to where that apartment house had been. There was nothing left. To this day, not a single body that was in that apartment has been recovered. That's what happens when you're not willing to admit you live in a dangerous world. And we can never forget, we live in a dangerous world where bad things can happen. Natural disasters, like a hurricane, accidents we never saw coming. We're all too often threatened by all the things that can happen to you when you live in a broken world, and that's where we live. Too often we want to believe that we live in an amusement park kind of world. You know what I mean? We live in a world where sometimes it may seem scary and sometimes it may seem dangerous, but it's not going to be that bad. And after all, in a few minutes, all the bad stuff will go away and the sun will come out again and everything will be just fine. And then things begin to happen. A pandemic is resurgent just when you think it's gone. Americans are trapped in the sudden downfall of a nation on the other side of the world. Earthquakes cause unbelievable damage to the people in Haiti. We hear of the devastation caused by fires and floods all across our nation. And if you're wise, you begin to realize this world is not a safe place. You can't afford to close the door and turn up the music and pretend that it's not out there, because the world can be a very dangerous place. Not only that, but the Bible reminds us that we are not always surrounded by good people. You'd like to think that everybody you cross paths with means you nothing but good. But the truth is, the world has its share of dangerous people, folks with no moral standards to follow, people who take pleasure in harming other people, people who can change your life in an instant just because you happen to be where they were at a given moment. And some of those people are easy to recognize. You look at them and you think, well, that's a dangerous person. I better be careful. But most of them are not. We live in a broken world among broken people. But that's not the worst of it. And we have to face the fact that each of us has the capacity for evil within ourselves. Wait a minute, I know that's not true. I'm a pretty good person. I try to be good to my neighbors. I try to treat everybody fairly. I know I'm a good person. And then all of a sudden you find out that you've put yourself in the midst of a sinful situation. Romans states the truth bluntly. There is none righteous, no, not one. There's none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. How many times do you have to hear the word none to understand? That's talking about me as much as it is anybody else. All of us have a sin nature that constantly tries to turn us away from God and toward evil. Every one of us, as soon as we relax and don't pay attention and let our guard down, find that that sin nature, that carnal nature, comes and begins and tries to entice us and draw us and turn us away from God's plan for our lives. All of us know what it's like to harm other people through our actions, through our words, through our disobedience. We have it in us to hurt ourselves, to hurt others, and even to hurt the people we love the most. Aren't you glad you came to church this morning? Jabez understood that the world was a dangerous place. And he was more than aware of his own capacity to sin. And he demonstrated it in his prayer. Oh Lord, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, and that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. Over these last few weeks, we've been looking together at how you can pray Jabez's prayer along with him. And it's easy to pray that prayer, Lord, bless me indeed. And it's easy to pray that prayer, Lord, enlarge my territory. And it's easy to pray, Lord, let your hand be with me. But what happens when you get to that last phrase? What happens when you have to pray, God, bless me and keep me from evil? Well, that's what I want us to look at together this morning. That's what I want us to learn. And this message may be the most important message of all when you study the prayer of Jabez, when you seek his blessing. So let's see how he prayed and what he was asking God to do in his life. The first thing you see is this. Jabez prayed for the blessing of protection. He prayed, keep me from evil. Keep evil away from me. God, do everything you can to deliver me, to protect me. He had no illusions. He knew he lived in a world where evil was at work. Remember how the Bible describes Jabez? It says he was more honorable than his brethren. Now, we don't know what Jabez did, and we don't know what his brothers did, but we know this. We can assume that he was making right choices when his brothers were making wrong choices. If he was more honorable than his brethren, one of the things that means is they were making decisions that were harmful, that were disobedient, and that were destructive. And he was doing his best to stay on the right path. Jabez knew the power of evil because he'd seen it up close. He'd seen how bad choices had damaged their lives and harmed the people around them, and he had no desire to go down that same path. God, keep me away from this. I've seen what happens to people when they follow the path of temptation. I've seen what takes place in people's lives when they're sure they can handle it no matter what comes their way. Jabez knew and realized that the potential to be affected by evil lies around every corner. It did in his day. It does in your day as well. There's one thing about it. You don't have to deserve it to be affected by evil. When you live in a world that is sin damaged, you know the potential for evil to happen is all around you. Whether it's something that happens in the world around you or whether it's done by other people, all you have to do is pay attention and you see the presence of evil wherever you look. Turn on the television and see what people do to each other every day. Switch channels and you see how nations can devastate the lives of people who are under their power. Turn the channel again and you see families and communities devastated because someone made an evil decision. Everywhere you look, you can see the corrosive power of sin that damages the lives of people. Victims of war, victims of crime, victims of disease, victims of perversion. The evidence of the destructive power of sin is all around us. But that's not all. Jabez understood that the source of all the evil is personal. And his name is Lucifer. Evil always arises from the same root. People may do different things in different places, using different means, and affecting different folks, but it all comes from the same person. It comes from the influence of Satan. He is the roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We don't like to think about those things, but you know that doesn't make them any less true. And because all of those things are true, and because we live in an evil world, and because we're surrounded by evil people, and because the potential for evil exists everywhere, then we need to know that part of asking God to bless us is to say to him, step in, keep me from evil. We pray a prayer of protection. We did that together not very long ago. Just a couple of Sundays back, we took time and we prayed for our students and for our educators as they began a new school year. And one of the things we prayed was, Lord, keep them safe. Keep them safe from those who would cause them harm. Keep them safe from diseases. Keep them safe from anything that could affect their lives. Keep them safe. We know this. Jabez prayed a prayer for God's protection because he knew he could not handle the evils of the world alone. He knew he would not always be able to defend himself. And he also knew this, and God didn't expect him to be able to do so. God did not expect Jabez to be able to handle the world in his own strength and on his own terms. Jabez turned to the Lord for help. He trusted in the strength of the Lord. A wise person constantly prays for the blessing of protection. Hear these powerful words from Psalm 61. From the end of the earth I will cry to you when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. When David wrote those words, he didn't write those on sunny days when everything was going his way. He understood, I'm about to be overwhelmed. I don't have the strength to handle this. You're going to have to see me through it. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And just like David, we need to establish our lives on the rock. Remember that old hymn? On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. That's what David was saying. God, I got to have a rock. I got to have something that's substantial and strong. I got to know there are things that are there, and I'm going to be able to trust them no matter what may come my way. We need to pray for the assurance that comes from building our lives on the rock. When you pray for the blessing of protection, the appeal of Psalm 61 becomes the assurance of Psalm 62. Truly my soul silently wakes for God. From him comes my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Don't ever assume for a moment that you live in a safe and comfortable world where only good things happen to good people. You need to remember three things when you pray a prayer of protection. The first one is this: evil is real. The second one is this: Christ is your defense. And the third thing is, he is your rock. God, protect me and keep me from evil. Jabez prayed for protection, but he also prayed for prevention. When he prayed, keep me from evil, he was not just looking around. He was also looking within. He was looking at his own life, and he was not just saying, keep me from evil. He was saying, keep me from evil. He knew the capacity for sin was very real in his own life. He felt the pull of temptation, and he knew how easy it would be to slip away. He'd watched others turn away from God's will. And when he saw how sinful choices damaged the lives of the people around him, he knew it could easily be me the next time. That needs to be an attitude that we all share all of the time. You know, sometimes we see people who slip and fall and who commit sin and who break down, and we look at them and we say, how could they let that happen? When the honest response ought to be, you know, next time it could be me. Next time I could be the one who falls. Jacob knew all about the enticing nature of temptation. He knew how Satan will lie to you and draw you in and convince you that you're too strong and too smart to be affected by the power of sin. He will convince you that you can go just a little ways because you can always come back. And whatever you do, you've got it under control until it demands its price. And you discover that you too have slipped and fallen. Jabez knew that if he chose sinful actions, that choice would affect other people. And he did not want to cause pain. One of the greatest lies that Satan causes us to tell ourselves is simply this. Okay, what if I do make a bad choice? What if I do decide to choose the paths of sin? What if I do decide I'm going to turn away from God's way? I'm not hurting anybody but myself. What a lie. What a lie. It's almost never true. People who love you, people who are around you, even total strangers can have their lives damaged and destroyed by your uncontrolled sin. Never say to yourself, I'm not hurting anybody else, because you almost always are. And so am I. And so are all of us. Jabez was convinced that he needed God's strength to prevent him from allowing sinful desires and temptations to tear his life apart. So he prayed, keep me from evil. And I need to pray for the blessing of prevention as well. God, prevent me from being the one that disobeys you. Prevent me from being the one who hurts other people. Prevent me from bringing damage to the people I love the most. In other words, the prayer really is this: Lord, help me to deal honestly with my own sin. So how do we do that? Let me tell you how you pray a prayer of prevention, asking God to bless you in that way. There's five steps I think you need to take. Let me share them with you. First is this: be serious about your personal potential to sin against God. Be serious about it. Recognize it's there. And unless it's kept under control by the Lord's Holy Spirit and my dependence on Him, I've got the potential, I've got it within me to sin and to sin seriously. Number two, be specific in talking to the Lord about the places in your life where you are prone to fall. What's your greatest area of temptation? Somebody want to raise your hand and just testify right now? Where's your greatest area of temptation? Where is mine? None of your business. You don't need to know, but you know what? I do. I need to know. If I'm going to mess up, if I'm going to fall down, if I'm going to sin, it's going to be because I've exposed myself to this particular temptation, or I've allowed myself to be in this particular place, or I've allowed this kind of circumstance to come into my life, and I knew before I ever went there, I couldn't handle it. And I can tell you that about me because I can tell you that about you. It's true about all of us. And we need to be serious and we need to be honest about where those places are. Number three, be honest with the Lord about where you are spiritually. There are two times when you are more prone to fall into temptation's power than any other time. One is when you've just experienced the devastation of real pain. Perhaps you have sinned. Perhaps you've fallen. Perhaps you've been hurt by the sin of another person. And in that time of weakness, you are more prone to fall to the call of temptation than almost any other time, except one. And you know what that other one is? After a season of great spiritual victory. When you say to yourself, I finally got this figured out. I'm on the right track. Now I can relax. And that is when the enemy knows this is the time to attack, because your defenses are down. So you have to be honest with the Lord. This is where I am spiritually. I'm close to you. I'm far from you. Good things are going on. Hard things are happening. I need your help. Bless me. And that's the third one. And I've lost my page for the fourth one. Put it up there, Jim. Be dependent upon the strength that only Christ can give you. Recognize I've got to have the Lord's power at work in my life. It is His Holy Spirit that allows me to be able to do that. So you are dependent upon His strength, and His strength gives you the ability to continue on. And then the fifth one is simply this. And never forget the promise of 1 John 4:4. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. When we remember that, we recognize if I'm going to be prevented from sin, it's going to be because the power of the Lord is at work in me. And then there's one last prayer that Jabez was praying. And if you'll flip that one up there, Jim, I'll tell you. He prayed for the blessing of transformation. This is what we need to remember about Jabez. Remember, we talked about this on the very first Sunday that I began to preach these messages. That the name of Jabez meant pain. Painful. It was the name that had been given to him. It was the name he traveled with. It was the name people associated with him. And so Jabez, when he came to the end of this blessing, keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. Jabez was determined pain was not going to be his legacy. He was not going to allow his life to be a testimony to how you can cause pain to other people. Pain to the people you love. Pain to the Lord you serve. He made the decision. It may be my name, but it is not my destiny. God bless me so that I can outlive that reputation and that my legacy will be one of blessing and touching the lives of others. I think that's such a powerful prayer that he prayed, this prayer of blessing that said, Lord, help me to live beyond what's been given to me. Help me to become more than what I used to be. Help me to become that person that only you can transform me into being. And so he prayed, Lord, help me to be transformed. Help me to become a completely different person. Now there's a prayer that you can pray and a prayer that I can pray as well, because you know the truth is this. We don't need to pray and ask God to bless us and say, Lord, I just want to be a new and improved me. I want to be the person that I can only be through Christ. I want to be that person that only you can transform me into becoming. I don't want to be me, just a better me, just a happier me, just a better looking me. I want to be a completely different person. Never pray for God to make you a better version of who you were apart from Him. Pray to be transformed. And it may be that's exactly what you need to do today. If you're here and you're not a believer, you need to pray to be transformed. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Isn't that what we sang together? Once I was a stranger to God, and I was captured completely by my sin. But now I belong to Jesus. I've been saved, and I've been transformed by the power of His Holy Spirit. And today, if you're here and you're lost and you don't know Jesus, and you've been trying to handle it all by yourself, and you've been experiencing disappointment after disappointment, failure after failure, maybe today's the day you need to give your life to Him. Maybe today is the day when you as a believer need to confess to the Lord, you know, here's my spiritual condition. I've been trying to do the right things, but I've been trying to do it all by myself. Because the truth is, Lord, I've been assuming that I just needed to be a little bit better. I haven't been thinking about being transformed by the power of Christ Jesus. Maybe today is a day when you need to say, I want to be transformed into the image of His likeness. Maybe God's calling you to be part of this church fellowship. Maybe there's something the Lord wants to do in your life. If you need to come, this is your chance. We're going to stand. We're going to sing our invitation hymn. And as God speaks, you come. Let's stand together. House. I'm glad we got to share this time together. Let me remind you again that tonight our evening worship service will be moving downstairs where we can spread out a little bit more and enjoy that. And then at 6, our vision task force will be meeting. And tonight's a very special time. We've been praying through the summer together. We've prayed some very special prayers. And tonight I've invited our ministerial staff members to come. And they're going to share with you some of what God is doing, where they see God leading in the future, and letting us know how we can pray for each of them. So it's going to be a really good gathering. Let's take a moment now. Let's pray, and then we'll be dismissed from the service. Father, we just want to pray Help us, Lord, to depend upon you, that you might keep us from evil. Lord, we need to be protected from the evil around us and prevented from the temptation of sin within us and transformed into the image of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.